Okay. So we're in Revelation chapter 6. We just read the first seal. We're looking at the seal, and we had read of, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. That's verse number 2. Verse number 3, we'll talk about the second seal. But there was a few things to be noted. One was a white horse. Now, we usually expect the white to represent righteousness and holiness.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And then we move to that he that sat on him had a bow. Okay? Now, he has a bow, which is different than a sword. Now, many people believe, or many people teach, that because it's a white horse, and he's riding a white horse, that must be the Messiah, found in Revelation chapter 19, where it talks about that he's riding a white horse. But we'll come back to that in a minute. And then it says, a crown was given unto him. So he didn't have a crown, but he was given a particular crown.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. So he goes forth conquering. So he's conquering something in a white horse with a crown, with a bow. Now, as I mentioned, I thought of this in 1988 when President Reagan was making an announcement to the world, him and Gorbachev, that the two superpowers are now at peace. They're no longer going to be fighting each other. And they were going to be issuing in the millennium.
Okay.
And I was thinking, okay, the millennium, the thousand-year reign, which is found in Revelation chapter 20. So I'm saying, okay, you guys are saying y'all are getting ready to issue in a thousand-year reign of peace. Okay? In Revelation 20, it makes mention in verse number, okay, we start off at verse number 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of the Messiah, and for the word of Elohim, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received the mark upon their right hand or on their foreheads. They did not receive a mark in their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with the Messiah for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, for such the second death hath no power.
Mm-hmm.
But they shall be priests to Elohim and to the Messiah, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Okay, so here it gives to us the details of the 1,000-year reign.
Mm-hmm.
As it talks about the 1,000-year reign, it says that we will live and reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, when the President of the United States, Reagan and Gorbachev, had got together, that's what they were promising, that there would be peace, because we've had this Cold War that's been going on for a long time, and if the two superpowers who have all the military might can unite together, and you either was on the east or the west side. So if you was on the west side, you know, you were following the United States and Europe. If you was on the east side, then you were following Russia or the USSR. And so when the two superpowers unite together to bring in peace, then they can bring in peace across the entire world, as they would tell us. And so when he mentioned that they were going to bring in the millennium reign of peace,
mm-hmm.
to me that was like, what code words are you using here? What are you telling the world? And I was impressed because I've been studying Last Day events since the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So when that hit, then I started to rethink, and I was asking the Messiah, okay, what is going on here? How come I don't know about this?
Mm-hmm.
And he took me to Revelation 20, as you read, and I said, well, then, well, obviously none of them are the Messiah.
Right.
And they might be planning to set up a 1,000-year reign, but that would be the counterfeit.
Right.
Versus the truth. And so usually anything that's written in the Bible, there's always a counterfeit that correlates with it so that it can confuse the people and the people don't know which way is up and which way is right. And so then that finds the people in the valley of decision, just as what you were asking earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we're in that valley of decision, what decisions can we make?
We have to decide whether we're willing to do the will of God or follow me.
No, we got to know first. We got to know what in the world is going on, right?
Oh, yes.
Right. And if we don't know that these guys are setting up a counterfeit, then what will we follow?
We'll follow the word that's being given to us.
Right. We follow the counterfeit.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what threw me and had me go back to restudy all of these different things. And so by 1992, I was going through the early 90s, 90 through 92, I was going through this, as you mentioned, this fasting and praying and this raw food diet and all of these different things so I could try to understand and perceive what was going on but wasn't being told.
Mm-hmm.
What is, as they would say, they were using smoke and mirrors. You understand what that means, smoke and mirrors?
No, I don't. Sorry.
Okay. Smoke and mirrors mean, okay, you're in a room, and you can see across the room, but if you put up a bunch of smoke in the room, you can't see across the room. So they can tell you anything's on the other side of that smoke.
Okay.
Of what room you're in and what's actually going on. And you have no clue. You just got to accept what they're saying. And then the mirror part is, say you have a room, and if you set up mirrors in the right spots, you can have them reflect, and you can see other things which are not there. But they're just an image of a reflection of something else. And so when we say smoke and mirrors, that means that if you're looking at the person, then the person can set up a mirror such that you no longer see the person, but you see yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you projected on that person or what that person projected on you is something different than what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So they use a lot of smoke and mirrors in the media and in society and so forth. So it's just trying to set that up. So when the counterfeit of the 1,000-year reign or the first seal was being set up, then that's how we can see it. It'll be smoke and mirrors. And so, you know, when they say certain things, if you understand what they mean, then it'll make sense. If you don't understand what they mean, then, as we read, the multitudes of multitudes in the valley of decision, not sure which way they should go.
Right, because most people don't study their Bible.
Well, there's a lot to it. Study and reading are two different things.
Right.
But I wonder what's going on with this. But most people, you know, they're not sure or not wasn't taught how to study.
Right.
And I'm finding that to be true. But as you
read
the quote, the quote didn't say, for you to depend on somebody to do that for you.
Right.
And so when we come to that level of existence or realizing or consciousness that something is going on, then we find ourselves in trouble. So those are the type of things we got to keep in mind. and do as we see and as everything becomes fit. So, as we were reading in that seal, it also goes back to chapter 6, okay, when it talks about the white horse, okay, and he has also a bow in his hand and given a crown, mm-hmm. and he goes forth conquering and to conquer. Now, some people teach that this was the age of the apostles. Some will say that. We're going to look up scripture to see if it's true.
Mm-hmm.
But they base it on white representing righteousness, and that the apostles were conquering, and they were going forth giving the word. And so they were conquering, and they went forth conquering and to conquer. And they were given a bow. And they don't explain what the bow is. Some say that it's a war. And then others will, and then they talk about a crown. And they're not sure what the crown means. Mm-hmm. So, but let's look
that's
at
for the,
some
that's
scripture.
For the first seal, right?
Say it again?
That's for the first seal?
Yeah, that's how
the
some
conqueror.
People look at it. That is the counterfeit interpretation.
Okay.
All right. Now, let's look at what the scripture says in Revelation chapter 19. Because 19 is the main verse that's used. Because the Messiah says, I mean, because that is the Messiah. Okay, let's look at 19 for a second here.
Okay.
And you'll see what I mean. Okay, and we'll start off at verse number 11.
19:11.
Let me know when you have it. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11.
How can I find 11? Oh, okay.
Oh, you got it?
Yes.
Okay. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. So there you go again. You got your white horse.
Mm-hmm.
And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. So he makes clear here, in reference to chapter 19, that there is a person who's riding a white horse. And when he rides the white horse represents, I mean, he tells you who's riding the horse, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the Messiah, right?
Yes.
Faithful and true. Okay. And then it says, his eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. Okay, so here we have crown again. Okay, now the question is, how many crowns does he have? And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And what was, how many crowns was he given?
He said many.
Right. And the one we found riding the white horse had how many?
One.
Okay.
Yeah, eight crowns.
Now, was he given crowns?
He was
given. Or did he own crowns?
The first one was given a crown.
Okay. And now the one in Revelation 19?
It says that, and on his head were many. So
that's right. He owned these crowns.
Right.
The one is given a crown,
mm-hmm.
and the other owns many crowns, not one crown. So we see some parallels, but they're not the same person.
Mm.
Okay, both are riding white horses, no question about it. One has one crown which was given him from somebody, we don't know who, and then the other one has many crowns.
Yeah.
Okay, and verse 13 says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of Elohim. Okay, so we now have who this person is. It's the Word of Elohim. okay, which is the Messiah. And the army which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. So now we got a lot of white horses, not one. Mm-hmm. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth forth a sharp what?
Sword.
Sword, okay. That with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty Elohim. So we see things entirely different. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, we see that he has, now, he has what type of armament?
I'm sorry,
or weapon?
What type of weapon?
Mm-hmm.
His heaven's favor and the army. Out of the mouth of a sharp sword.
Okay, so he has and the other one has what?
A bow.
Okay, is a bow and a sword the same?
No. A bow.
Oh, are they the same person?
Not a weapon. It has to have an arrow.
Okay. So are they the same person?
It doesn't sound like they're the same person.
Right. There's similarities, but one has a sword, one has a bow. Both ride white horses. One is given a crown, one has many crowns. And they both go forth conquering and to conquer. Mm-hmm. And it says that he shall rule them with a rod of iron. So we know that the Messiah goes forth and does that. So this is, they didn't study it in detail. All they did was just look at the general stuff. And from the general stuff, they were able to conclude that the first horse represents the apostles, or represents somebody going forth to conquer in righteousness. But as you look at it a little further, we see some other things that enter in, which are not quite the same. Can you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then the question I guess people want to know then, if he's not the true, then is there a counterfeit?
An antichrist.
That's correct. Or maybe not the antichrist himself, but an antichrist system, or a system that is set up. And so, and the system winds up going forth conquering and doing lots of different things. Now the question is, do we, is what Gorbachev and Reagan, what they brought in was what we call the New World Order. Are you familiar with the New World Order?
I've heard of the New World Order, but I don't know its function.
Okay, the New World Order has a one-world government, UN, one-world religion, one-world economic system. Okay, those are the three main components.
So one government, one religion, and what was the last one?
One economic system. Okay, so when we try to look at that, we know that we have the UN, and everybody's supposed to be governed by the UN. I assume you're familiar with the United Nations.
Yes.
And what they've been doing, and what they do, what's their purpose.
what their purpose is?
Say that again?
Is what their purpose is to keep everyone in the same accord?
Okay, yes, as a world governing power,
mm-hmm.
Right. So then you're supposed to go to the UN to mention your gripes or different things that are not working out according to the nations or policies that you should be following. And so when they went in to take over Kuwait and Iraq and all of these different things that they're supposed to, that the UN, they, according to Bush Sr., the first Bush after Reagan, he had mentioned that he was given permission by the UN to go into Iraq. Now, and I looked at the Iraq situation as unique, similar to the mark of the beast
mm-hmm.
in Revelation chapter 13, of how that would be implemented. So if you look here at Revelation 13 for a minute,
mm-hmm.
let's see what we got here. Okay, and we're going to start off at verse number 11 of Revelation chapter 13. Let me know when you get it.
I have it.
Okay. Revelation 13, verse 11, it says, "And behold, another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake like a dragon." Now, it's talking specifically about some type of power that would arise, and this power would appear as a lamb,
mm-hmm.
but when you listen to their laws and listen to their lifestyle and listen to what was going on, you would find out that it was like a dragon. And the lamb represented the Messiah, because he's the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. And the Bible talks about the dragon, the great serpent, the dragon, Lucifer, or Satan. So we have these two opposites. Are you familiar with those scriptures?
The one about the dragons?
Right.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. And the one about the Lamb of God?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So in this particular chapter, matter of fact, when we read Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, it tells us clearly who the dragon is. "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and 10 and 7 crowns upon his head." And then the Bible lets us know that in verse 9, "And the great dragon," Revelation 12, verse 9, "and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, which is called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So here we have the Bible telling us who the dragon is that we're looking at in Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. So we have one speaking or appearing as a lamb, as a Christian nation, I guess we can call it that.
Mm-hmm.
But then they would speak as a dragon, like the devil, in their lifestyle and in their existence, which would be two contradictions to itself. But this is the lamb, which with the beast, which comes up out of the earth with two horns like a lamb. Now, someone else just tied in. Who is that? Hello? Is it just you, Catherine, out there?
Yes.
Okay, I heard a beep, so I heard someone else come on. No, okay.
Oh, yeah, this is Lola, but I'm on mute because I have my little grandbaby with me. So I had to just kind of figure out how to get back on real quick here from unmute.
Okay, no problem.
Okay.
Okay, so back at Revelation, chapter 13, verse 11. Now, what nation on the planet calls themselves a Christian nation? How many Christian nations do we have on the planet anyway? Well, what do we say? We say we're one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all.
So you're saying we're the only Christian nation?
I don't know any other.
Most nations think they're you know, religions, Christians, or, well, maybe not Christians, but they believe
they're right.
Religious.
There are no other ones that I know of.
Okay.
We're the only one. And there's Muslim nations that they'll make it crystal clear. You're a real Muslim nation. They got Muslim laws and it governs them. But Europe doesn't have any nations governing them. And we were established under our constitution. And on our money, what does it say?
Yeah.
In God we trust, right?
Yes.
Okay, so this is the only one that I know of. And we're the superpower. And we're the superpower according to them because we're in one nation under God. So now the question is asked, how are our laws and actions enacted? Are they according to the scriptures or are they according to Lucifer's teachings and lifestyle that we're living?
According to Lucifer, if you look at the way the media is and the world is, it contradicts the word of God, basically.
Okay. So, I guess we're the beast that came out of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most people won't tell you that for a few reasons. Well, the most obvious reason is, how would you like to be in the belly of the beast? So, most are in denial of that fact, but that doesn't change the facts, but that's okay. So when we were at the same time enacting these laws, what were we doing to the Native Americans whose land we had come upon?
We was trying to convert them.
Well, we put them in concentration camps, didn't we? Called reservations.
Uh-huh.
Even to this day. Did you know that they have to walk around with a card saying that they are Native Americans? Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, not like us. And so at the same time, while they were massacring the Indians and taking their land in the name of Christ,
mm-hmm.
which was not good, what were they doing, what was the nation doing to the native, the Africans, at the same time, under God we trust?
Enslaved.
Temple. What was that?
They were enslaving them.
Yes. So it seems like what we were saying and what we were doing are contradictory to each other. One is clearly stating that we're following the Creator. The other one clearly stating our actions are the actions of Lucifer.
Right.
So this is where we find ourselves. So now, as we read on in Revelation chapter 13, we're going to read the next few verses, because we want to get to the mark of the beast. That's what we're trying to get to,
okay.
Of how it will be implemented and how when we went to war with Iraq under the UN, quote-unquote, sanction, of how that happened. Revelation chapter 13, verse 12, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwelt therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Okay, so now I guess we have to figure out what this first beast is. Which is at the beginning of chapter 13. which we need to just take a few minutes to look at. We don't want to spend a bunch of time there because we want to get to the mark of the beast.
Okay.
Revelation 13, verse 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of the heads as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wandered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Okay, I want to stop there for that one. So we see quite a few beasts running around in here.
Mm-hmm.
We already talked about the two-horned beast, right?
Yes.
And what do we say that, what's the scripture saying that represents? What nation?
United States, the nation.
Yep. America and prophecy. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then we come back, and in verse 1 of 13, it talks about this other beast. Now, remember, one beast come up out of the earth. That's the two-horned beast. This one does not come up out of the earth. This one comes up out of the sea.
Chapter 13, 1?
Yes, 13, 1. Mm-hmm. And this one is, in verse 2, it says it's like a leopard. Okay, the body of a leopard, I would assume, the feet of a bear, the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him power and seat and great authority. So now is introduced another entity, which is called the dragon. And we read already in chapter 12 about the dragon, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we don't have to redefine him. So the bottom line is that we worship Lucifer at the end. And that's what it was saying, that he gave power, that the dragon gave him power and a seat and great authority. Now, myself, as I understand prophecy and things that are going on, they have an application to the last days, not hundreds and thousands of years ago. That wasn't the last days. And it might have dual applications, which is fine. But we want to understand the application as it relates to us today. And so when we try to look at this, my understanding I get out of this one here, the beast of what's actually going on today with the UN and all of these other nations, because that's where all the nations are gathered together. That's where the UN has its power and so forth. So I've been looking at it from that perspective. But we'll have to go back and study Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, into Daniel chapter 7, which talks about the lion, the four beasts that come up out of the sea. Same sea with the winds striving on it. Well, the first one comes up as a lion. The next one is a bear. Then a leopard
mm-hmm.
with four heads. And then it talks about the terrible beast. So now if you count those heads, the first beast is a lion, that's one head. The bear is number two, that's two heads. And then it says the leopard has four heads. So that gives us six. And then the terrible beast, or the fourth beast, which is seven, gives us seven heads. And the last beast has 10 crowns. And so that's exactly the same description that we read here. But we're not going to go into that right now because that's not what we're trying to define. So let's get back to chapter 13. But I wanted to talk about some of these beasts. So if you notice that the first beast, or the beast from the sea, has you worship the dragon. Is that right?
Yes.
You don't worship it. That's the key. And then when we read here in chapter 13, we found out that that we exercise all the power from the first beast that was wounded. Okay, so we're given, and we exercise all the power from the first beast, from the UN, and who has the majority of the power or rulership power over the UN?
America,
right?
Mm-hmm.
There's like four or five nations, America, Russia. I think they let China in. It's Great Britain, Spain. I think those are the major nations. I'm not sure if Germany. Yeah, I think Germany is also. So those are, there's a certain committee that they can veto anything that comes across the board. And so basically we are exercising all the power of the UN, really, in essence. Now, some people might agree with that and some might not, but that's okay. We can study that at in more depth at another time. Okay, so in verse 12 of chapter 13, we're reading, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and he causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. So there you go again. You don't have them worshiping themselves. They have them worshiping another beast, which was the one that gave them its power and its seat and its authority. Each one represents that. So under the cloak of fairness, we use the UN as our puppet, like we do everything else. So, the question, okay, are you everybody following?
Yes.
I haven't lost nobody yet. Okay, good. All right, now 13, and he does great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, there's many ways. This application can happen more than one way, but the one way that I saw so far of how it hit was, I'm not sure if y'all remember what was going on in Vietnam. And during the Vietnam War, they had these napalm bombs, and they were like fire coming down from heaven. All they would do was just blow up and set up a fire the whole place. That's all it was doing. And that's what we as a nation was dropping on them. And when we dropped, and now, do you know anybody who dropped any nuclear bombs, which is nothing but like another fire coming down and just setting everything on fire for miles around? Do you know any nation that have dropped nuclear bombs?
I don't. Was Pearl Harbor, that wasn't a nuclear bomb, was it?
No, the Japanese did not have any nuclear bombs.
Okay. No.
Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We're the only ones on the planet that ever dropped nuclear bombs on people. No one else has. And we praise Yahweh for that, because it is total destruction. Mm-hmm. That's not what we, that is not a good thing.
True.
And so we see here that there would be this nation, two horned beasts, that would drop or rain fire down from heaven. So that's one application. Now, we might in the future, we might be using lasers from heaven to shoot fire. I don't know how technology is getting to, but the Bible did make mention that there would be a nation that would actually rain fire from heaven. Some of us look at it from that perspective. And verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wounded by a sword and did live. Okay, so we see here that the Bible is talking about total deception again. It says, he deceiveth them that dwelleth on the earth by those miracles. And his goal is to what? Make an image to the beast, to the first beast, not himself, but to the first beast. And that was wounded by a sword. And he causes, verse 15, and he hath power to give life unto the image of the beast. So this nation, which we call the United States, would give life unto the image of the beast, or some form of power that will be working in the UN, as I see it. I keep looking at the UN, because that's where, or the United States of Europe, that's a new power that's coming into existence. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak through policy and laws, and that's what the UN does, and causes that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, the question is, we're dealing here with giving power and giving worship the image of the beast. Now, when we talk about worship, we're talking about obeying rules and laws and so forth. That you worship in Yahweh, you follow his laws, you follow what he says. That's, mm-hmm. So now it's talking about worshiping a beast power or some nation's power. And whoever would not worship them or cooperate with them or obey their laws, then that they should be killed. And then it says that he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And that no man might buy or sell save he that hath the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that have understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here it's mentioning to us that the time would come that he would, verse 16, that he would cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand on their forehead. Now, why are you receiving a mark in your right hand or forehead? For the purpose of that no man might buy or sell save he that have the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So it's letting us know here that it's dealing with worship. It's dealing with receiving a mark. It's dealing with receiving a name of the beast or the number of his name. So it's like four different things that are going on. In particular, this part here in verse 17 has to deal with buying and selling. So remember we talked about under the New World Order, they have a one world government, which we've been talking about, the UN. That's the main part that we've been talking about here. It has a one world religion, which hasn't come into focus yet that we've talked about, and it have a one world economic system. So the point is that economically, that's the buy and sell part. That if you don't cooperate, if you don't worship, if you don't receive, if you don't obey, then you won't be able to buy or sell. And so I remember, I guess you can call it economic boycott, okay? Like when we were, when the civil rights movement had come in, that we boycotted the buses, so we wouldn't give them our money. And so in Birmingham, they went under because they didn't have any money from the black people, and so their banks, their buses were running, and the buses system was shut down, and because of our economic boycott. So you can bring people to their knees if you can have sanctions against them or have an economic boycott. Mm-hmm. So what happened here, that the UN and the world had got together, and they had put sanctions, economic sanctions, against Iraq as long as Saddam Hussein was in office. But Saddam Hussein was on the CIA payroll under Bush, mm-hmm. who was president, who had been the director of the CIA before he became vice president of the United States. So we see here that because this nation wouldn't obey, Saddam Hussein wouldn't obey what the CIA and what the government and all these world powers were saying, so he did what he wanted, and so they said, okay, well, then we'll set up an economic boycott, which they did. And when the economic boycott did not work, what did they do? They went in and bombed his nation back into the Stone Age, they said, such that it was like, okay, if the economic sanctions don't work, then we will kill you. And so basically, that's what verse 15 was saying. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and that was the laws of the sanctions that were put in, and cause that as many as would not worship or obey the UN or the beast should be killed. And eventually they took his nation out. So what I saw was a prelude or a staged practice of how the New World Order, or how through the New World Order we'll be able to set up economic sanctions, implement the mark of the beast, and take you out if you don't cooperate. And so what I saw here in Revelation, I was saying, wow, the whole world watched what happened. And I guarantee you most people who are reading their Bibles never mapped it, never tied these together. Mm-hmm. Have any of y'all heard that parallel before?
Yeah.
No?
Mm-mm.
So it's interesting. So for you to mention about the first horse or the white horse, it will appear as what we're doing is right in some fashion, and then as time goes on, we would turn into doing things that wasn't right. So that's where I believe the first seal or the white horse is dealing with. And they are going forth conquering and to conquer. So they took out Noriega in Panama because he was stopping the Panama Canal and he had his own ideas, even though he was on the CIA payroll with Bush again, mm-hmm. Bush Sr. I mean, all of these documented type of things that are there. And Noriega, I believe when North, Oliver North, talked and told the whole nation that we were selling arms down there, and that then we were financing the drug industry, and we were bringing in drugs to America. That was North. So all of these things were paying off, you know, through, I think they called them black ops operations, I guess that's what they call them. But anyway, these are the things that have been, according to the scripture, of what has been going on. Does that help you anything with the first seal?
Mm-hmm.
Catherine?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Professor.
Okay. What we're going to do, we in around 45 minutes, we'll take a break and come back in 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's around 21 after, so we'll come back right around 2:35.
Okay.
Is that okay for everybody?
Yes. Yeah.